Go Broncos. Welcome, everybody. So good to be together. If you're brand new, my name's Aaron Stern, and lead pastor here. Welcome to everybody joining us online. We're so glad that you're with us. Today is kind of a pivot day, if you will. We, for the last couple of years, have been giving focus and attention to the word and the idea of practice. That is because, and if you've been around for a little while, you know this, that at the beginning of every year, we have a word for the year that gives shape and direction to the year. And that can look like sermon series. That can look like things within city groups or resources and tools that we make available. And that has been something then that we wrapped up just this last month, talking about what it looks like to practice. Of course, we continue doing that even beyond these last couple of years, but gives frameworks and tools for us as we move forward in following Jesus together. So today is the day that we introduce the word for 2025. Really excited and have, as we've been praying and thinking about this and sharing and working on different ways that it's going to shape this year for us, the ways that the Lord has really confirmed and brought a way of us seeing that this is what God is doing and we are stepping into something that He wants to see in each one of us and us collectively. So the word for the year today, ironically, is the word word. So that means that this year we are going to give a high bit of attention to the Scripture, the Word of God. We have always had, since our beginnings 13 years ago, a high view of Scripture. And we shape our lives around and see the Scripture as the Word of God, as trustworthy and authoritative. But I want us this year to give some additional attention to what is the Bible and how do we best approach it? And how do we best not only know it, but understand it, and ultimately then apply it to our lives in a way that isn't just about increasing information, but actually increasing transformation. Reading the Scripture is an essential part of our formation. It is an essential practice and should be an anchor within our rule of life throughout our lives. And access to the Scripture, thankfully, is not the issue we have in our day. We can carry the Bible around in our pockets with our iPhone, or you can have access via podcast. You can listen to it. You can read it. You can print it out. You can have paper Bibles. I mean, there's so much access to Scripture and commentary on Scripture and discussion about it and all of these different ways. So access isn't the issue. Engagement sometimes can be the issue, but even engagement alone isn't the goal. Reading the Bible even in and of itself isn't the goal. Knowing even knowing the Bible isn't in and of itself the goal. The enemy knows the Bible. Even just knowing the Bible isn't the goal. Understanding the Bible is the next step, but because it is true that you can read the Bible and not understand it, and it can be warped. But understanding isn't also the greater goal. It is something much bigger, and we'll be walking through understanding and knowing and learning because those are important steps, but at the end of the day, it's much bigger than that. I love the story in Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus is actually, he's out in the wilderness. He's been fasting for 40 days, and he's tempted by the enemy, and the enemy comes to him and warps a scripture and tempting him to turn rocks into bread. Because he's hungry. And Jesus responds with another scripture. He quotes out of Deuteronomy, and he says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." When we're talking about the Bible and we're talking about the Word of God, this is how I want and I hope and I pray that we see this as a lifeline. That we see the words on the page not just as something to somehow know, but actually something to feast on that's essential. Just like food is essential for life, so is the Scripture essential for our flourishing. That we would engage it in such a way like we are thinking, you know what, I'm kind of hungry right now, and I'm really excited about lunch. That we would think, you know what, I'm pretty hungry right now, and I need to feast on the Scriptures, the Word of God. That we'd find life in these pages. That we would love it. And maybe for some in the room or online, you're like, maybe you read your Bible every day, and you've been a Bible reader, and you've read through the Bible, and my prayer is that you don't just check out, and you think, oh, this is for the people who have never read the Bible before. Because the reality is, even if we've read the Bible a lot, or we're consistent in it, or somewhat consistent, or however, that at the end of the day, my prayer for all of us, myself included, is that I would read the Bible with fresh eyes and renewed joy. That there would be something new that grows and a greater, not just understanding, but transformation. Now, as I bring this up and say this is where we're going for this next year, there may have been different kinds of reactions. For some of you, you may be like, oh, awesome, I'm kind of clueless, so this is just like up my alley. Or maybe you're like, you know what, you find yourself just a touch discouraged. You're like, I tried reading through the Bible in a month ago, and I'm Leviticus. Leviticus is my nemesis. This is like the fourth year in a row, and I've fallen off the Bible nerd wagon, to quote Grant McCallman. Or maybe you're like, boring. Kind of, been there, done that, read that. So I would suspect we're in lots of different places in relationship to how or what it means for us to engage. Our goal is that there is this new level of hunger and desire, a renewal and a refreshing. Now, I realize there's a lot of people in a lot of different places, and we actually do want to have some additional information to better have an understanding of where we are collectively as a house. And so we actually created a Bible engagement survey. It's very short. We're actually going to take a moment to do it now, or at least get it started. It's really simple. There's a QR code here on the screen. You can just take your phone out and scan this QR code. It's just a 9 question, really simple. 8 of the 9 questions are just check boxes, like to answer one of these. So it's anonymous, so be honest and don't overthink it, all right? So kind of your quick response, let that be your answer. I might be in somebody's way, so sorry about that. So go ahead and do that. I'm going to give you about 90 seconds, and so go. I'm going to stop talking because I'm sure I'm distracting. Maybe, what's Jeopardy? Do we have any Jeopardy music? About 10 more seconds. All right, if you're not quite finished, you can finish that, and there's also access to that particular survey on our blog, which I'll highlight here in a little while, but hopefully that will be helpful for us, and and maybe helpful for you, even as you think about some of those questions. The Scripture, if we were to go through the history of the Scripture, meaning it coming into the form in which we experience it today, is a bit textured and sometimes checkered. Not saying the scripture itself is, but there's ways in which people have died for this. They've treasured it, found a couple of pieces. Maybe it's against the law to read it or whatever. And other people have also taken the scripture and weaponized it in such a way or to justify killing rather than being killed for it. But the reality is, no matter what kind of history, or maybe even our personal histories with the Bible, it is no ordinary book. It is a portal to another world. It is a way in which we engage with something, someone, a story much, much, much bigger than ourselves. The scripture says about itself in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 3, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't pick up any other book and think this is God-breathed. Hebrews chapter 4, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's not just a book of literature, though it is a piece of literature. It is something that is much bigger and alive and active, not static. It is something that can hit us in the deepest places of who we are. And so we want to explore and expand and hopefully understand in greater ways how this scripture impacts. So we'll be talking about maybe the question for you is it credible? Talk about why it's trustworthy and authoritative, and how do I actually read it? And so those will be some of the topics we'll be covering in the next couple of weeks. But to best start talking about the Bible, I think we actually need to start by talking about God, because it is a book first and foremost about God. We live in a world, and specifically a Western culture, that is very hyper-individualized, which means that we approach things with the "this is about me" kind of book and idea. And the reality is we need to start with who is God. And I want to highlight two ideas about God that are so important and formational in how we read the scripture this year. One, God is a speaking God. It's not that God spoke, though he has. It is that God is speaking. God is not only vocal in a book and then mute on everything else. God did not write a book and send it to us because he decided he was chatty for a little while and needed to record it. I like what A.W. Tozer, pastor and author, wrote in his book, The Pursuit of God. I believe that much of our religious unbelief is due to a wrong conception of a wrong feeling for the scriptures of truth. A silent God suddenly began to speak in a book, and when the book was finished, lapsed back into silence again forever. Now we read the book as the record of what God said when he was for a brief time in a speaking mood. With notions like that in our heads, how can we believe? The facts are that God is not silent, has never been silent. It is the nature of God to speak. The second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus, is called the Word. The Bible is the inevitable outcome of God's continuous speech. It is the infallible declaration of his mind for us into our familiar words. I think a new world will arise out of the religious mists when we approach our Bible with the idea that it is not only a book which was once spoken, but a book which is now speaking. God is relentless in his efforts to communicate with us through creation, through others, through his Holy Spirit, and yes, of course, through the scripture. So the question is, will we listen? What voice will be dominant in our hearts and in our lives? There's so many voices. Which one will take precedence? Well, so if it is about hearing a voice and God speaking, then then the scripture and our word for the year is not just about reading, it's actually about listening. Listening for the voice of God. My prayer this year is that God would help us get used to the sound of his voice. So that when we hear, we know. When we read, we hear. Hey, you ever have that moment where somebody calls and they're like, hey, and you're like, who is this? That never happens with my wife. Why? Because I've heard her voice so often, so much. I know the nuances. I know the intonations. And the same thing can be true of God. That we would know his voice. I have found throughout my years that those who know the Bible the best hear God's voice the most. Because they know what it sounds like. In the first century, when the people of God would come together, there would regularly, if somebody were to stand, it actually, to read the text, would stand on a little elevated platform. That little elevated platform was an indication of the high view and the elevated importance of the text. And as that person read, the expectation was that as they together, a community, listened to the text, that it wasn't just like, oh, I wonder what interesting tidbit of information I'm going to learn today. There was an expectation that God would speak to them. So what if together, yes, on Sundays, yes, when we gather in a city group, but even together when we read by ourselves, God, what are you going to say to me today? So first, God is a speaking God and continues to do so today to you and to me and to us together. And secondly, is that God is relational. God in his very nature is relational. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, not God the Holy Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit revealed through the Scripture. But that nature of God interacting with loving one another, Jesus says, as you have loved me, so I pray that they love one another and they know the love of the Father towards them. What's he doing? He's inviting us into the Trinitarian dance and love of community found in God himself. God's desire is what? To be with us. All relationships need nurtured. So it's really important that as we come around to this word for the year, that we realize we don't have a relationship with the Bible. We nurture a relationship with God through the Bible. This is a means to an end. See, the Bible isn't just a book about God, it's a way to be with God. My word for the year, and I hope you'll come around to this, or at least a part of your word for the year is word, but I do have a personal word. I don't think I've ever shared my personal word on a Sunday, but I think it might be valuable here. My personal word, along with this collective word, is friendship. I feel this invitation from God this year to go deeper in my friendship with God. And so as that couples with this word for us together as a community, I feel like my time in the scripture is like opening the scripture to spend time with a dear friend, to hear his heart and know him and him know me in greater ways, just like I would as I develop and nurture a relationship with my wife or a close friend. One of the things that we'll try to do over the course of this year is add a layer of the way that we might read and understand the Bible. We have lenses that are automatic to the way that we read the Scripture. We are, at least I would say the vast majority of us, grew up and have very American Western lenses through which we understand the world and therefore through which we understand the Scripture. What I hope, we can't take that away from us. The reality is we are who we are and we have those types of things that shape us and create lenses for how we view the world. But the goal for us is to make sure that that's not the only way that we read the Scripture. The Scripture was written to and within a Jewish context. So my goal and our hope, my hope is that we will be able to add Jewish first century or before that in terms of the Old Testament, a Near Eastern Jewish lens to greater understanding of the scripture. But one of the things that was important, that's important regarding that, is how a Jewish person would engage the scripture. They would regularly read it, expect God to be speaking, but also then wonder and wrestle and ask lots of questions. So as a part of engagement with God, like maybe you put a journal or a piece of paper, you just write some questions as you read, like, what's up with the talking snake? Or why is it that in the Old Testament it seemed to come across these places where there's like genocide? Or when I read the Gospels and I see what Jesus did, he doesn't ever seem to be like, okay, so now I need you to repeat this prayer after me. Why is that? Or, God, why are you so in and so committed to people in the Old Testament and the New Testament, your church, which so regularly misrepresents you? I don't get it. Now, for some of you, maybe, especially if you grew up around the Bible, and the questions I just threw out are like, whoa, too far, too much doubt, too much, that's a slippery slope, Aaron. But the reality is the questions are there. And you know what God wants us to do? Engage him with them. And it isn't necessarily that we're going to get all the answers, but God's more is interested in us engaging him. And there are maybe some answers to that that we can learn through context and study, and others that we just can offer to him and say, I don't know, but I trust you. And I'll ask you later. Because the goal is not just to know the Word of God. It's to know the God of the Word. Which means we have to engage him. Jesus says in John chapter 5, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, you study the scriptures diligently. They knew them backwards and forwards. Because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, Jesus says. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Like you've missed the forest from the trees. You missed the point. You missed me, he says. I'm a child of the 80s, so I grew up around things like cassette decks and Miami Vice. And I also grew up loving MacGyver. MacGyver came on Monday nights in our house, and so we as a family would watch MacGyver. If you're unfamiliar with MacGyver, he basically could solve any problem with duct tape and a Swiss Army knife and had a sweet mullet. And so he was like a familiar family name around. Well, my mom one time went out to lunch with a friend, and she sat down at this restaurant, and a couple tables over, she's like, that is MacGyver. He was with another guy, and so she's like, I'm going over. So she goes over and says, are you MacGyver? And he says, yes. And she's like, my kids love you. Is there any way I can get your autograph? So he's filling out some autographs. And while she's waiting, she says, oh, and who's your friend? And he says, oh, this is Bruce Springsteen. Now, this is the 80s. Which means Born in the USA was out, and it was like everywhere, and he's the boss. And so it didn't matter what you do or what you listen to or whatever. I mean, you knew who Bruce Springsteen, you sang, you understood Bruce Springsteen was in the air. And my mom laughs, ha, yeah, right. Thank you so much for your autograph. Sat down, thought that MacGyver was so funny for cracking a joke about this guy that was Bruce Springsteen, as if. And then my mom comes home, and we came home from school, and she's like, guess what happened to me today? And she tells that story, and she's like, so here's autographs from Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver, and she tells us about the funny story about him joking around about this guy, and And it was in the 80s, so I don't remember even how we found, because there was no internet, and we found a picture of Bruce Springsteen. I was like, did he look like this? And she said, oh, actually, yes. She knew all about Bruce Springsteen, but missed him when he was right in front of her. It would be a travesty if over this year we read this, we know more, and we miss Jesus. Imitation in this word for the year for every one of us is to encounter God in a greater way. Maybe for the first time. Maybe again in a fresh way. Maybe in a way that feels like the first time again. As I've been praying about this and sharing this with a few, our team and others, it's been really cool to hear confirmation and ways that this is resonating. So I want you to hear a story from Hillary. She's a part of our house, and the way in which she encountered God through her scripture reading.
Hello. I have been a believer my whole life, and for my adult life, I've done all of the usual practices of church and prayer, worship music, city groups, but 2 years ago, I actually sat down and began reading the Bible in its entirety, and I did that in a few short months on accident, because I was just so sucked into the story, and that is actually where I feel like I met God, and had an awakening of sorts where it just changed my entire life. When I first started doing that, it was out of curiosity and just commitment to wanting to have read the whole Bible. And I had no idea that I would end up feeling like mind blown by all of the stories within it, and how I would come to know God. Did you guys know that, and this is just really crazy to me, in Numbers, the text actually reads that the earth opened up and swallowed some guys. And that was just wild to me. I had no idea that scripture could be like so intriguing. So anyway, whenever I would read, I would just tell everybody about all the things that I was experiencing, awe, confusion, whatever else. When we're only reading the Gospels or the New Testament, we miss some of those stories from the Old Testament, which I love. Prophecies, stories, tracking with the faithfulness of God to his people over a long timeline of their continued disobedience and chaos. And I feel like when we don't read the Bible in its entirety, we're actually missing out on the wholeness of Jesus and the story. John Mark Comer says, scripture plays the role of a sculptor, shaping your thinking, your feeling, your believing, and out of that, your living. And this was so true for me. This is exactly what I experienced. It quickly shifted from curiosity and checking a box into a lifeline. Like, I can't not read scripture now. It's something I have to do. I desire to continue to be shaped, to be more like the God whose story and character are continually revealed to me as I read. Because when we regularly are reading scripture, it doesn't just stay in our minds. It seeps into our hearts, and it changes how we live. So every time we come back to its pages, it's another invitation to enter into communion with God, to know him and to actually know what it feels like to walk with him. Ever since I experienced this, it's been a deep longing that every single person I know, that everybody in here would experience that same fire that I experienced. So while no two experiences in life will be the same, I do wonder, what if we all committed to devouring scripture this year, just diving in headfirst, and creating space for the same opportunity? Some days we are not going to feel like it even a little. Some days we'll read a lot, but I would encourage us to just continue in that practice either way. My hope that would be that we as a church would offer the same commitment and discipline that we do to our workout regimens, nutrition, schooling, social calendars, and family rhythms into our scripture reading and our time with God, in hopes that we would all feel that same fire and experience transformation.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Thank you. So our weekly practice, even though practice isn't our word for the year, it is also an important thing that we'll continue to carry through, because we do follow Jesus together, and this is one of the ways in which we engage and continue on with that. Our weekly practice is to select and begin a daily reading plan and find others to join you. Now, for some of you, you already have done that and you're actually still in it. I'm not asking you to stop it and start another one. But for some of you, maybe you started one and you're you hit Leviticus or whatever. I'm asking you to pick something up. There is no requirement for one particular Bible reading plan or another, but we have picked several that I would love for a good portion of our church to do together. And so you can choose what kind of fits for you or what maybe you feel like God's leading you towards. One would be a Bible in a year. There's no magic thing about doing it in a year, but reading through the entire Bible. The second one is the Old Testament. And then the third one is specifically the New Testament. All three of them are in conjunction with the Bible Project videos that give explanation for each book and themes throughout the Bible, and I found to be exceptionally helpful for some context, for a grid on some different things as you go through. And so there's access to those on our blog, millcitychurch.org. There's a Word resources page that has that, as well as other books and podcasts and lots of other things that you can utilize as tools to engage, depending on time or interest or things like that. You can also text Word 2025 to 970-299. Let me make sure to put this one up on the screen. 299-9997, and then we'll send you the links to those Bible reading plans, and you can choose and you can look and all that. You'll notice on that weekly practice is not just pick one and start, it's pick one and start and do it with some other people. We follow Jesus together, and actually we have a better chance of not only engaging it and understanding it when we do it with others, but it's an important part of the practice. And so not only may it be helpful for you, but it can be helpful for someone else. So maybe that's your city group. Maybe that is a few friends or a portion of your city group or something, but do the Bible reading plan together and then set up a text thread and send questions, wrestlings, thoughts, encouragements, revelations, things that somehow maybe can stick out, and that becomes part of your dialogue with one another. I just recently talked with Mick. He and his family have been a part of our house for several years now. Oftentimes, he is behind the soundboard, and so maybe the vast majority of you in here just know him by the back of his head. Well, I want you to see the front of him, and so this is Mick, but he has a story that I'd love for him to share in relationship to his city group and reading the scripture together.
Yeah, it's a little different being on this side of the microphone, but we'll get there. So in December, I had breakfast with one of the guys in our city group, and we're just talking about wanting to read the scripture more. And we decided, look, let's read through the New Testament together with all the guys in our city group. So there's five of us in our group. Shout out to my buddy Hayden in the front row here. Sounds a little bit like me. He's from New Zealand. But so we started another group chat, like another text thread that we could discuss reading the Bible in, and decided to start with Matthew on January 1st. Put the Bible Project video from YouTube in the chat, and it has really transformed our group, the men in our group. Discussion has almost been daily as we, you know, text back and forth in both threads, just general conversation, but also discussion about what sticks out to us and that we've been reading that day. We're better fathers, we're better husbands, and we're better men from doing it. It's even in a month, it's crazy the transformation that we've seen. One of the guys was saying that he sits down with his physical Bible and reads it on the couch, and his kids come and sit with him and read it with him. And he started on his phone, but his phone was showing that he was unavailable, that when his face is in his phone, that his kids wouldn't come with him. But with the open book, that they would come and sit with him. It's amazing to see the transformation just in him, just in a month. He's so much more present with his family. He's really a different man. It's amazing. Another one, my buddy Russ loves theology. So he's, you know, listening to 12-hour Bible Project podcasts and putting deep, deep insight in the chat. But it just adds so much. So we share things that stick out to us along the way, things that are shaping us. And then we're planning to have a dinner together in the next week, to just have a feast and discuss Matthew together. So we're partway through Mark now, and it's just getting better and better, to the point where the girls in our city group are a little jealous of what we've been doing. So they've started their own chat and reading through the Bible together as well. It's just been amazing. Just transformation.
That is so awesome. Way to go. Thanks. Thank you. Amazing. If you're like, I don't even know where to start, or I'm not in a city group, there's a bunch of city groups that are centered around scripture, reading through the Bible, particular books, things like that. I encourage you to find that if you're not in a city group already. Mick mentioned, you know, paper Bible. For some of you, are like, wow, let's go. What if we go old school and maybe you get a paper Bible, bring it to church. You can actually write in it. It's pretty amazing with a pen or a pencil, which I have done. I regularly will use a Bible app and use it as a like way to track moving through the scripture, but then write and read in a paper Bible. And I found that as I read it again, I'll find like notes and dates of what God was doing or what that how it impacted me in that particular moment. And I get to see the faithfulness of God. Oh, wow, I remember that. If you don't have a Bible, we can give you one for free. You can go to the New Here area. We also have a table out in the lobby with some nicer Bibles, like leather covers and things that you can purchase. Maybe it's a helpful way to say, you know what, I'm gonna put a little in here. I'm gonna invest in some ways. I want this to be nice as a way for me to kind of say this is a treasure. This is a treasured book, and it's not about the book itself being the treasure. It's about what's inside the life and specifically the person that I meet and engage. And so I'm not sure what your next step is in all of that, but I encourage you to really think and lean into that here today and in these couple of weeks. It may take you a week or two to find not only the best plan, but also the people to do it. And so take your time, but step into that starting here today. Did you know that if you spend about 15 to 17 minutes in the scripture every day, you'll end up in the Bible for 100 hours this year? 100 hours in this book. That will impact you. That will impact me. So we want to do that together. The goal is not, for some of you, maybe you're like, I've been reading the Bible every year for the last 25 years. Maybe you need not more read more. You need to maybe read less, more slowly, more communally, as a way to, it's not a race. The goal is absorption and encounter, formation and transformation. May it be so for us individually and together. One of the things that is so important as we approach this book is to realize that this is not just a philosophy, a book of ideas, but it is in fact a story of a God who came to the flesh in the form of Jesus of Nazareth, who walked on real roads and wore real clothes and ate real food, and a God who created a real world. That we are talking about a God who is real, and the interaction with him is through the reality of our lives. It's not just a mental ascent. And so throughout the centuries, the church has engaged the reality of God by taking and having an actual meal with real bread and real juice called communion. A reminder that this is not just a mental ascent, but actually is a physical interaction. Our body with the reality of God. And so we're going to take communion together as this to kind of cap off this introduction here today. So on your way in, you should have received a communion cup. If you did not, or somehow missed it, no problem. You could just raise your hand and one of our host team will make sure to get to you. Just keep your hand raised until they get to you. We here at Mill City practice what we call open communion, which means that if you're a follower of Jesus, we encourage you to participate with us. It's not about membership in one particular church. It's about belonging to the family of God. If you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe this is your moment. Your moment to cross the line of faith. Your moment to surrender to God. To realize that, well, this is not just a book, but it's actually full of life. And Jesus came not just to like give us a list of rules, but actually to rescue us and bring us not from bad to good, but from dead to alive. If you're like, man, that the life that you're talking about in God, and I want that. You can simply cross the line of faith by sincerely under your breath saying, Jesus, I give you my life. And if you just said that, I encourage you to participate and take communion with us. Maybe you're like, you know what, Aaron, I've got too many questions, but I'm interested in at least exploring. Alpha is a great option for you. The scripture says that before we take communion, we're to examine ourselves. So we just want to take a moment and engage in confession. We're going to do that together as a way of reminding ourselves that not only did Jesus come and die for our sins and defeat death, but we are in need of that mercy and grace. So we want to say this confessional prayer together as an acknowledgement of our need. Let's pray this together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. If you would, take the cup. You can peel off the top layer, get access to the bread. The next layer, get access to the juice. The night before Jesus went to the cross, he was with his disciples and eating a meal, and at it, he said, and he took the bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then the same way after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. As a reminder, a physical reminder. So if you would, take the bread and the juice and then I'll pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that you created us. You created a good world. You loved it too much to leave it alone in its broken state. So you sent your Son Jesus, and Jesus, you came in the form of a human alive, showing us what it looks like to be fully human, giving your life away, coming out of the grave, defeating death, breaking the power of sin. As we take in bread and the juice, may we be reminded, and may we ingest the reality of who you are. May it be a reminder to us that as we read the scripture, it's not just about understanding words on a page, but in ingesting life into our bones and into our soul. So, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would spark something in each one of us today. A new hunger, a new level of love, and a new level of desire to engage you, to know you, to understand you, to be transformed by you through your word, that we would not just know the word of God, but we would truly, in fact, know the God of the word. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everyone said, amen.